Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com. Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free. Welcome to the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast, where we focus on all aspects of real estate investing, including strategies, mindset, emotional mastery, money smarts, and so much more to ensure your success. Today, I have a very special episode in store for you. This last weekend, we celebrated Mother's Day. And you know, for me, I have to admit that my mom was probably the biggest example of what a powerful woman really looks like. I've met a lot of powerful women in my life, but in the very end, I have to say my mom has really shown me how to become the strong, independent woman that I have become. So today, we're not going to talk so much about real estate, but instead, I want to introduce you to the most important woman in my life, my mom. I had a little conversation with her earlier. She's not used to being interviewed, so I prepped her. So let's go ahead and give her a call and start our chat.
Hi, my love.
Hi, Mama. Long time no talk.
I know.
Mom, I think of you as a very forward-thinking woman, and you have been that way your entire life. What do you attribute that to?
I have been always very goal-oriented as a woman and have always wanted to succeed in life. I came from India, so it's a struggle. So the struggle there for women to be successful. But I managed it, and I did become a physician and was able to come to travel abroad, go to London, and practice a little bit of OBGYN over there to learn because I wanted to be an OBGYN doctor. But then I came back to India and met my husband, and we got married, and we decided to come to America.
Okay, nice. And Mom, you originally said that it was a struggle to become a doctor in India because it wasn't normal for women to pursue careers. Usually they got married fairly young, right? So just tell us a little bit about that journey.
My father was actually not in the favor of me getting into medicine because he felt a woman's first goal was to become a housewife, get married. So because my mother was not educated and my other female relatives were not that high educated, my goal was to be educated. That was the first goal. And then when it came to selecting to become a doctor. So I did get into the medicine, but it was a lot of struggle because there were several languages I had to learn to be able to talk to the local people. But on the whole, I succeeded and did well because I was so determined. As I took the steps forward, I found that if I remained focused and remained goal-oriented, I was able to do everything. At the same time, being a role model for other women over there who were kind of shy and had difficulty mixing with people, while I was very open and very goal-oriented and would be able to ask questions. So that way, it was not a struggle. But studying as a doctor was difficult because it is a difficult profession. And I had to really, really work very, very hard to get that.
So, Mom, why do you think it was that you were so different than the other women? Why was it that you were more willing to ask the questions and willing to focus on your goals and go for them rather than just be shy and get married and do the things that all the other women were doing?
So the main reason was that ever since I was young, my father studied abroad and he was very, very bright and intelligent and ultimately he joined the United Nations. He was a good role model, even though my mom was not educated. My father had a great influence on me, and he was the one who taught me to be strong, taught me to study. And
Mom, what was your biggest ambition for your three daughters? Because you brought up three very strong, independent women. So what was your biggest goal for them? And what were your goals personally to empower them to become successful?
I always encourage them to study hard and become successful. And also, you know, I taught them that it is important that not only goal-oriented for profession, but goal-oriented where they can also be successful financially, because that is important. Just richness is not the word. It's financial success and happiness.
Okay. So, Mom, could you go back to India? You used to tell us when we were growing up these really cute stories about how you used to get to college and that you used to write the bullet card and your mom used to make you all those sandwiches and all of that. I'm not remembering the story specifically, but could you tell us a little bit about, you know, that life, what that was like?
We moved from Pakistan to India in 1947. And my father was an agronomist, and because he was a Rice Research Institute head, we had to stay in a farm. My father always education-oriented because he had done his PhD from America, and he also wanted the kids, we had six brothers and sisters, to go to good school. So the only school that had a combination of English and Hindi was out of town, far, far away. And at the time, we did not have any accommodations. The war had, the 1947 second war had just ended. We had got independence and all that. So when we came to the village part of the, where my father worked, there was no transportation. And so initially, the only transportation they had was the bullock cart. So, of course, that was for a very short time, but we would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get ready. So even from that point of view, it showed sacrifice the parents had to do to get up in the morning, get us ready, and put us in a bullock cart and go, because they knew that that's very, very hard. It was, took several hours to reach. This, of course, was very short-lived, because after that, the government gave us buses, which these were actually the war buses that came from the military that was involved during the war and things like that. Buses were sent to these rural areas so people could travel. So we were given a bus which took us to the school. And this was supposed to be an English medium school. So we were able to learn English. We were able to study our Hindi. And we were able to focus on our education.
Cool. So how long did it take you to get to school when you were in the bus?
About an hour.
How long did it take you to go in that cart?
4 hours.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, here in the United States, the way children take schooling for granted. And they even resent it. And here in other countries, in order to succeed, and this is not just in India and in your situation, this happens all over the world, that parents that are determined to get their children a good education, they have to jump through these hoops. Or the children that want to go, this incredible difficulty in getting an education, we have this amazing advantage in the United States. And we just don't recognize it. So that story is so inspirational, Mom. Did you feel it was easy to be successful in the United States? Like you had come here because you heard that doctors could practice here. They got a lot of respect. They were paid well. But when you finally got here, what was it like?
It was harder because we had to go through several examinations because the Indian, the education we had in India, the final exams and things had to be repeated in America because Americans did not accept the final education, Indian education. So we had to do some more exams to prove to them that we were up to the level of American education. So that was the initial difficult part. And that the questions and the education as well as the examinations were very, very hard because they were different. They were not the same education as we learned in India, which was the British style. Mm-hmm. But so we had to really, really work very hard to learn the American kind of education and give the exam. So that was the difficult part. It took a few years to study that, and I went to special classes to attend to learn about that. But once I got over that, and once I got settled. I did externships, which you do to learn about American education. That externship helped me to progress and take the exams. And I did pass my exams. And once I passed my exams, it took me several years. I was able to fit in and get my residency and do everything else that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. So what are you most proud of with your girls now as they're adults and women out there in the world? What is it that you are most proud of with them?
How proud we are of them being goal-oriented at the same time being very loving, being very caring. I remember when I was having my operations done, my daughters would take time off, especially Monica. Take time off and come and take care of me.
Well, thank you, Mom. You know, Mom, I started this conversation by just saying that in my life, my biggest role model is you and always has. You know, I've studied with so many mentors and I've seen really powerful women in my industries. And of course, they've taught me strategies and techniques. And certainly the way that I show up in the world has a lot to do with me modeling a lot of different kind of women. But my biggest and most powerful influence has been you. Because you've been there since I was born, right? Obviously. And I've watched you. I've watched you through your struggles. I've watched you bring us up. I've watched you with my two sisters. I've watched you in your business. I've watched you with the handyman or the cleaning lady that comes to the house and the way that you interact with them. And all along the way, I've been learning. And even now, when anybody asks me, on a show, who is your biggest role model, I always say that it was you. So I just want to thank you for being the best mom ever and for all that you've given for the family and for striving so hard for success so that we could learn from you how to do that. And you've been such a gift to the family. So thank you so much for what you've given me. And thank you so much for sharing your story with my audience today. It's been really wonderful. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.